can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
And a very pleasant Thursday morning, afternoon, and evening to you. Al is still in Montana enjoying his vacation back on Monday. So, once again, the Eddie Scazzeri joins me. What's up, Edward?
Hello, podcast people, YouTube person.
Yeah.
And speaking of Al, you said he was quiet on his socials?
I didn't see it. I looked this morning because I was desperate for sound.
Sure, yeah.
Looking to see if he posted any new videos other than what they put out yesterday, and I did not see anything. So I don't maybe because it's possible that yesterday was the fly fishing day.
Maybe.
Which I know was, I think, a 5-hour excursion, something like that.
Mm.
So that does make sense. But yeah, I didn't see anything yesterday.
I wonder if this is the kind of fly fishing where if you catch something that they cook it for you.
Maybe, I suppose. I mean, you'd have to eat it there because he'd be going back to a hotel.
Right, yeah, for lunch.
You know? I don't know. I didn't get too in-depth with him. But no, I didn't hear it. Maybe he got eaten by a mountain lion.
Yeah, that's true. And
never know.
He said in the one that they showed on TV yesterday that he went to Old Faithful, but that's not close. If he was at the northern end of Yellowstone at Mammoth Hot Springs, Old Faithful is like, I think, 2 hours or at least an hour and a half.
He said he didn't mind driving a couple of hours.
Okay.
I think what got him was when that caller called up talking about the Dakotas, and they were like,
yes.
It's only 6 or 7 hours away.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think he minded an hour and a half or 2 hour drive.
Okay.
So very possible that that's where
he was.
Well,
I mean, I'm glad he did, because if you're that close, you should go see Old Faithful. Because it's like a thing. So.
But then what?
Well, yeah.
I mean, know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've seen geysers too in California and other places that I'm sure are very similar.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Quick, take a picture. I mean.
Yeah. Well, it lasts a few minutes, actually.
Okay.
So, and I got to see it in the winter at right after sundown and right before sunrise when it was like 2 degrees.
Did you stay there?
We stayed at the old Faithful Lodge.
So that's different.
Oh, 100%.
If you make a day of it, and I'm sure now you're in the area, you're going to, I guess, I don't know. You tell me, what else did you do there?
We got there right as the sun was going down, saw Old Faithful go off, had dinner, you know, went to sleep, got up early, did a hike.
Okay.
With the guide. Not like a hike. It was more boardwalky, but it was still like 2 miles.
Sure.
In pre-dawn and when it was really cold. And then went back and saw the geyser go off again. And then I think we left not long after that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know that he was going to stay somewhere else. I think that would have been a see it, and maybe that was one of the stops along the way. But I don't know. I'm sure we will get all the details on Monday about the big trip out to Montana. Couple of things that came up today. I'll start with just because I promoted it on the warm-up show, the whole commuting thing.
Yes.
And then I want to get into it, not BT, but the whole coaching kids thing.
Yeah.
And I know something you've never done, having not had children, but the whole mentality of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different times, you know, I've said to, whether it's Al, whether it's been on the show, whoever I've been working with, like, what is the point of no return? And you really sit there and look at the easy pass bills, whether it's our overnight differential, which is now over, which I didn't realize is now over $14. I got hit at $18.50 because I apparently don't have the thing in the right place. You know, if you're taking the train, you're talking $500-$600 a month. If you drive in, it's the tolls, it's the parking, it's the get. Like, at what point does it almost become, I don't know, diminishing returns to come in here?
Not worth it, sure.
You know, especially if you can, and I'm not saying all these jobs in New York pay great. I mean, they don't. There's a lot of jobs in New York City that don't pay great. I would think we would start seeing more and more people working in Jersey and Long Island and Connecticut rather than schlepping into this godforsaken place that's really become very expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are, like, my job, I have to come in. You know, your job right now, they really would like you to come in, but it's theoretical that in the future.
It's theoretical. That's all it is.
Mm.
there's no way I'm staying home. I would love to do one day a week at home.
Sure.
Specifically, I would say, which probably Mondays.
Yeah.
Because Mondays, it's a slower start to the week, but an easier start to the week because there's usually a ton of sound in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to go searching, and I don't do a lot of editing on Monday. It'd be a great day to be home. And you cut down 20% of the commuting expenses, or cut out, which would be nice. Never going to happen, though.
Mm-hmm. But what you said, maybe it has sort of happened already with, it started with the pandemic, and a lot of people work a lot of days, if not all the days, from home.
Sure, yeah. But a lot of people are now returning to the city.
Yes, but not every day.
Well, it depends. So a friend of mine who works, he doesn't work at the stock market, but he works in that field. He was home 5 days a week up through 2023, I believe.
Mm.
Then in 2024, it was his choice what 3 days he had to go into the city, 2 days at home. And they just told him in May that it's 5 days a week again. And he was like ready to quit.
Mm.
This is a really well-paid job. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I've been doing 5 days a week since the June of 20. Like, we don't all get to stay home. Like, that is the job, is to go to the job.
Right. And, you know? And because it's well paid, then, you know, it still makes economic sense for him.
It does. Yes, you're right. If you're making $1 million a year, it makes economic sense for sure. But even if you're making that kind of money or more, it's still just throwing money out the window. I mean, I went through this morning. So when I looked at my Easy Pass bill, when I look at the gas and the tolls, I am roughly $1,000 a month, about that. That's 12. Now, there's some months maybe not as much because of Rutgers travel, mm-hmm, and you get mm-hmm. vacation here and there. But if you just use that average, which I think is pretty fair, that's $12,000 a year of salary, of take-home pay. That is like 20 grand
sure.
of salary that is just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're making $100,000, obviously it hurts more if you're making $100,000 a year or $80,000 a year. And it hurts a lot less if you're making five. But the fact of the matter is you're still just tossing $20,000 out the window
mm-hmm.
of salary. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
It does.
And the numbers have just, they've gotten to a point of ridiculousness.
Yeah. And, you know, and for me, I mean, I'm significantly under the $100,000. So, you know, I understand. And it's, you know, maybe I don't really, that didn't factor into my retirement choice because I had kind of decided that, you know, when my dad passed, I kind of had a target in my head of 5 years. So, you know, that was, and the congestion pricing wasn't a thing at that time. Gas wasn't, you know, it got a lot crazy. It was,
yeah,
but it's still, you know, whatever, 280 a gallon, whatever it is.
Which it's kind of normalized
mm-hmm.
or at least gotten to a point where it's not $5 a gallon. Like, California's still nuts.
Yes.
But it also ain't $1.70 either like it used
to
be, you
no.
know? And you've done a very good job. Now, we have fun, you know, at your expense. And I still think you're crazy for some of the walks you do at 3 o'clock in the morning. But in how long are we here? 2009? No.
Mm-hmm.
2009? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So in 16 years, how many times have you paid to park? I don't know the answer to this. I'm going to say it's less than 10.
Oh, for sure. 100%. I think the times when I've had to remember when I used to do the scheduling and mm-hmm. I was here late every
day.
Yeah,
sure.
And if I couldn't find an all day spot, I would have to go out at 10, move the car. And there were, I think, two times when I could not find a spot and I had to go to the meter for an hour until then I could go back out and then get the spots that were coming good at 1 o'clock.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's minimal. But I have gotten tickets a few times.
Sure. That happens.
So,
well, so I pay and I still get tickets.
Yeah.
Because I forget the meter sometimes.
Yeah. So I think all told, since 2009, I've probably spent under $500 in parking.
Think about that number.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, Al pays every day. I don't pay every day. I would say on average, I probably pay 3.5 times a week
mm-hmm.
if you average it out. But even that, I mean, that's $14 a day, which is cheap compared
sure.
to a lot, and I get that. But if you're talking 28, 42, it's like 50 a week still.
Yeah.
That's 200 a month. You said 500 in 16 years on 200 a month.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, you've done a good job with that.
Yeah, so that expense is nothing for me. But there is a sacrifice
Yes.
To it.
Sleep.
And a risk also.
If we were in, let's not say we were in Astoria, but let's say we were in a place where there was a parking lot or garage mm-hmm. like we used to have in Astoria. What time would you get in? Like, how much more sleep would you get, or how much later would you go to bed?
I would say an hour.
An hour. So you yeah. get here around 4 instead of
yes,
around 3.
Correct. Yeah. Because by the time I settle in, and there's, yeah, I would say 4 it would be a fine, because there's days that, and you've seen it, when it's a tough parking search, and I walk in here at 4, and I'll text you, hey, I'm okay. I just was
yeah.
a tough parking search, sure. and I'll walk in here at 4 o'clock, and it's fine. You know, I'm rushed a little bit, but it's fine. And if I did that every day, I'd have a better routine and streamline things or do whatever or do some stuff during the warm-up show, which I don't like to do.
I know.
Because I want to pay attention. So, but I'm still having to do stuff during the warm-up show, as you see.
Of course.
But, yeah. And in terms of the congestion pricing, when it first went into effect, I was like, wow, this is really going to be a thing. Thank God I'm retiring. But with the overnight break, it really isn't as bad as I thought it would be. I think we worked it out as about $500 a year.
It's $2.25 a day.
Right. So
whatever that is.
You know, times however many work days, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So 4 is 10. It's $12.50 a week, basically.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is still $50 a
sure
month.
Sure it is.
So yeah, it's probably yeah. $500-$600 a year.
Yeah. Which is not so bad as compared to what we thought it was going to be near $5,000.
Right. Well, because we thought it was going to be another $15 a day.
Correct.
Which, and that's, I guess that's the question I have is it, if next week they decided, okay, this has been good. There's no more overnight differential and we're bumping it up from 9 for everybody else to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I always think too, like as companies, like, whether it's ours, the building next door, wherever it is, you're paying this rent to be in New York City. Why? When mm-hmm. comparable buildings are in places like Secaucus, I'm sure in Long Island, I know by the Coliseum, they have a nice business park. There are really nice buildings in these areas that are a fraction of, like, why? What is the need to be in New York City?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have the cachet that it once did, especially. Mm-mm. But if you look at commercial real estate, that took a nosedive during the pandemic.
Oh, it did, but you can't tell me they're not still not paying a fortune here for rent.
Oh, they are. They are, but that was under the old lease.
Yeah.
But who knows what it'll be
true.
Moving forward.
That is true.
And, you know, in terms of if, you know, they move this place to Long Island, that's not so good for us either.
No, it's not.
Verrazano every day.
That would be hideous. That's not for me as much as I'm more thinking about the real estate
sure.
costs
yeah.
to do business here, especially if it is really prohibitive for a lot of your employees. So
which it is.
100% it is. It's to me it's obscene mm-hmm. is what it is.
But. And then it's, you know, it gets better if you live in the city in the five boroughs, but then that's more expensive.
Sure.
And it's usually if you're, you know, you're paying rent.
Man, you walk left, right, center, they got you every which way.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you work for yourself and you have no commute.
Yes.
They got you.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way it is. The other thing that came up, and like I said, this is not about BT. But because the topic is such, you obviously didn't have kids. Have you ever gone to, for your nieces or nephews, have you gone to like Little League games, travel games?
No, because I only have, I have one nephew who is now like, you know, he was born in 93. So he's 20, whatever, 30, whatever.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So, and he was, one of my sisters who's in Utah. So I didn't, you know, that's where he grew up. But he was a big ball player, I know, for, you know, big basketball player. And my young niece with my sister-in-law who's in Maryland, she is just now 6 and, you know, just starting the soccer and the swimming. But again, she's in Maryland.
Yeah, so you're not seeing much of that.
So I'm not going to have to see or do any of that.
Right.
So no, I haven't really experienced any of that.
I would say the 16 years I coached was as, I still can't believe it's here and gone, which is just mind-blowing to me. But really, as rewarding, fulfilling, whatever word works. I loved it. I loved every part of it. I loved practice. I loved putting together a practice plan. I loved the batting practice. The games were so much fun. But the coach aspect of it, the fan behavior aspect of it, the bad umpiring aspect is all very real.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I'm not making this about BT, but like, I get how it happens. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, and not in his case because I wasn't there, but in my case, I have seen so many guys. I've seen guys get ejected. I've seen guys cross the line and not get ejected. I've seen umpires that should have ejected themselves because they were so awful. But what always blows me away is the inability to have self-control. So if I brought on any of my former assistant coaches or even parents of kids that I coached, I would say, if you asked, you know, like, what were my faults as a coach, I would bet you, not all of them, but I think a lot of them, as much of them would say they liked me as a coach because of how calm I was, I think there would be several that would also say I wasn't fiery enough. I didn't get into an umpire when he missed a blatant call at first base or second base.
You didn't fight for your team.
Rarely, because I did it. And I understand they're bing-bang plays. They're 11, 12 years old. No one's changing the world with this game. I did get upset with, you know, strike. Mostly, you know, it's funny. It wasn't the strike calls. It was mostly the lack of calling strikes that really would piss me off with the umpires. Because like I said this morning on the show, these guys are burning kids' arms out. Mm-hmm. The game is boring. And it's just, you don't understand this need to have this tiny little strike zone for a nine-year-old. It just doesn't make any sense. But when I come back to the attitude, like, I wonder what snaps in people where they can't control themselves. And regardless of whether they're high school kids, eight-year-olds, minor league, whatever, I mean, the behavior is something that I just... I don't have that in me, and I don't understand it. And you've never seen it, so it's really hard to kind of get a perspective, I guess.
Well, and did you ever see physical confrontations on your teams?
So on my teams, no. Physical confrontation, you mean within or even in the crowd?
Or the crowd. Anyway, like, you know, people getting into
it.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. Yes. I mean, there have been, and a couple of recent ones. So I told you I had written stories about my 16 years. It's funny. I've got about 180 pages written of stories, which is, I don't know if I'm going to do anything with them. It might just be something that I'll look back and read one day. Maybe I'll publish it for friends and family. I have no idea. But I do. I didn't realize how much I had written over the last couple of years. It's about maybe not 180, maybe 175 pages. And one of the, there's a few good stories in there. And I'll tell you one, and it's relatively recent. And this wasn't in 2010, but it also wasn't my last year of coaching either. Where we had a pain in the ass opposing coach. And when that happens, our head coach, only when pushed by the other guy, would do it right back. Would never, you know, he would never initiate bull crap.
Mm-hmm.
But if the other guy's going to be a jerk off, he's going to do it back now. So things started to get tense in like the second inning. Now you're talking at this point, kids were throwing 70, 75. This isn't 7U baseball. So it gets chippy. One of their kids hit one of our kids. Next thing, one of our kids hit one of their kids. Now the coaches are yelling back and forth. The umpires, who I thought did a lousy job of trying to stop it right there in its tracks, let it go. It festered to where when the pitcher came up to hit, he hit our catcher. When he came up to hit, they had words. Now they're standing face to face. These are teenagers, basically. You got testosterone starting to go. They stop it. Next thing I know, one of our parents is yelling to the umpire to break it up. He does virtually not much other than to call the coaches out. He's talking to the coaches. One of our parents is now yelling at one of their parents. Their parent comes walking onto their field holding a baby, and the whole thing is a mess. Mm. It's just a mess. They finally got to a point where they said, if there's one more issue, we will issue a disqualification from the tournament, and there'll be no game. Things kind of calmed down from there, but the umpires had no backbone. And when another issue or two flared up, they let it go. And I thought we were going to have a fist fight in the parking lot. We didn't. It turned out to be a good game, but just so much nonsense. And I sit there in the dugout. I'm like, guys, what are you doing? Like, who cares?
Right. And now, but, I don't know if it's just like, hey, you want your kid to win and you get your own, you know, living vicariously through it. But we had an umpire call up who said, I don't know if you were in the studio. I don't think you were. Who said a lot of the problem is that many of these parents think that their kid is a lot better than they are.
Well, that starts at the age of five. That is true.
Right. So that is a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
So yeah. they, you know
what the biggest thing is, Eddie? There's this, I won't bore you with the details, but, you know, whether they're YouTube clips now of kids online trying to sell themselves for, like, scholarship money and stuff like that to promote themselves, which I understand to a certain degree, whether it's things like that or whether there's this organization called Perfect Game, which is great. All they are is this tournament vehicle, but they keep stats. And they, for me, they were the first organization that would come in with the radar gun. They would, they've, like, if I go to my, if I go to the Perfect Game now, I can see my son's, like, stats from his last several, all of the Perfect Game games he was in tournaments. I can see his velocity, percentage of strikes thrown, his batting average, his, you know, the bats, all this stuff. And I think what happens is a lot of parents have a false sense that that's going to lead their kid to a baseball scholarship and free education and potentially a contract. Baseball's not like, baseball's not the NBA. Not very few scholarships are given out in baseball, but they have this pipe dream that that's going to happen, and all their kids are fabulous.
Right, and of course, maybe they're not all delusional to the think that, you know, their son's going to be a major leaguer, which has got to be a sort of a fraction of 1%.
Correct. Oh, absolutely.
But even to get a
D1 scholarship, yeah.
Or a partial ride to a D2 yep. school or whatever, yep. that's still got to be a very small percentage.
Oh, I agree. I mean, when we went to a Rutgers showcase, the Rutgers coaches were talking to us. Now, those rosters, I think those rosters are 25, and he was showing us, like, they have 7 scholarships. 7. Not 17, not 20, 7. Now, think about that.
And they're a Big Ten school.
That's yeah, but those are the rules. Baseball is just different, and they don't have the money. They don't generate money.
Is that the same in across D1, like in the SEC, where it's bigger?
I would think so. Yeah, I don't know that to be true, but I would think so. And you know, the one thing I always tell people when they think their kid is so good, and it's not that they're not, but for every elite level, let's use my son's now, how old is he? He's 15, and he doesn't play travel anymore. But let's say he was on a 15U travel team. For every elite level 15U travel team, how many do you think there are in the country?
Oh, my God.
Take a guess.
All right.
1,000? 2,000?
I would say more.
Yeah, maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000. I don't know. For every one of their programs, they all have damn good shortstops, like really good shortstops, and they've all got an ace pitcher throwing 83, 84. Well, out of that group, not many of them are going to go very far because there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean your kid won't and you should strive for it, but the attitude, like, you know, my kid's the next Jeter, it's crazy.
And then, and of course, the big lie, you know, hey, if you work hard at anything, you can achieve it. No, you can't.
And no, for the right. one person, it turns out to be true, of course.
Yeah, but people still spout that when they give speeches, and it's such
bullcrap. Because they're the minuscule one person.
Right.
And it again, if you don't have the belief, you're defeated before you start.
Sure.
Everybody should, and again, this is the misnomer with the clips you play of me. Everybody should have that belief. But I also think sometimes as a parent, for instance, if I know my kid can't play basketball and he's going to be 5'9", he's got average speed at best, an average jump shot at best, he's an average ball handler. Am I really going to tell that kid you got a shot to go to the NBA? Or am I going to really try and find what he's good at and, you know, play basketball and work hard? But I'm not going to sit there and give you a false narrative either.
Right. Hey, you know what? You want to try out for the high school team? Go for it. But
that's fine.
That's about it.
But there are parents out there whose kid tries out for the high school team, doesn't make it, and they think it's the coach's problem.
Of course it is. It can't be them.
I mean, if you couldn't make it a roster of 18, you know, I mean, come on. Look yourself in the mirror a little bit. You know, but you should always work hard. And yes, you can be the one if you are lucky enough to be the one. But you know, you can be anything you want. You can't be.
No.
If you tell 1,000 kids, if you work hard enough, you'd be the president of the United States. Not true. Not true for 999 of them, if not all 1,000 of them.
Yeah. And physically, like, obviously I could not, even if I was like, you know, worked out and it was the best shape that and the best athlete that I could be, I still wasn't going to be a major league baseball player, right. football player, basketball player, hockey player, tennis player, probably golfer. Who knows? I could have gotten a good enough to be a club pro. Who knows? Maybe. I doubt it because I'm sort of spastic naturally. But, like, you know, there's nothing athletically that I could have been anywhere near an elite level.
Right. And that's a lot of it is you have to have some – you have to be born with some sort of elite level athletic ability.
Here, maybe this, curling or okay. something. You know, like where it doesn't sure. – you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like I that's know. A sport and whatever, but it doesn't – like I think maybe I could have done that. But it's probably not Olympic level.
It's I just wish some people would just chill out a little more.
Of course.
You know?
And it's okay. You know?
You do ask. I'm trying to think, too, if I've ever seen one of the stories I wrote about. This is a funny one. And now we can end with this one. One of the stories I wrote about, which I'll never forget. This is probably, well, I don't remember the year, but I will tell you it was the Boomer and Carton days. And we were hosting a travel game. And this is for my younger son's team. And, you know, the coach comes, the opposing coach, and you could see this other team was pretty good the way they were warming up. Like, you can just tell they're at a pretty good level. And the other coach came right over. Couldn't have been nicer. You know, hey, I watch you guys every day. You know, is Craig really that crazy? Is Boomer really that nice? What's Al like? Is he that, you know, Eddie? Couldn't have had a nicer conversation to where, like, we were just talking. And I had my assistant go warm up our kids. He had his assistant go to the BP. And then the game started. Oh, we did the ground rules. The guy's smiling, the umpire, oh, it looks like we got a couple of good guys here. Can take a breather today. It's not going to be nuts. Then the game starts. First pitch, he didn't like it. Second pitch, didn't like it. Third pitch of the game, he gets a warning. Third pitch of the game. Long story short, there was a play in the second inning. It was a bing-bang play at first. Honestly, it went our way. Could have gone either way. I'm not sure if my kid was safe or out. I don't know. Not my kid, but my player. He hops over the fence, and he gets right in the grill of the umpire. Nothing physical, but is just yelling at him. No cursing, but is yelling at him. The umpire throws him out. So like that's one of the only two or three times I've ever seen it. Game's over. We wind up winning the game, and this really adorable but sheepish-looking, like embarrassed-looking woman comes over to me. She goes, "Oh, Mr. Ragamba," she goes, "my husband's the coach. He's really embarrassed. Could you just stop by his car, you know, our car, before you go home?" Sure. So I go out there, and he is beyond embarrassed. And he's apologizing. "Please don't say this on the radio. That's not me. I don't know what..." So I'm like, "Listen, I won't bring it up, but if someone calls in, yeah, I mean, it happened. There's 400 people that saw it. Amazingly enough, no one called in, and I never told that story. But I just bizarre.
And you know what? That is him. You know,
it has to be either that or he was just. There are times I think where guys for a specific game or moment are, you know, really jacked up or whatever the case may be. Maybe this was his one day. I have no idea. He was such a nice, normal guy and then just lost his mind. And you sit there like, and I might even, it's funny, I might have that game on. I taped a lot of our games. I might have that one on video. I'm not sure that I do or I don't because I have a lot of the older games before all this digital stuff. I have a lot of things in my Dropbox. I've never gone to check and see if I have that one. I might though. I might. But it's just, you know, self-control, man. Yeah. It is a problem, and it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse. So, I don't know.
It's been a fun week with you.
Yeah. This is it for the podcast. That's
and
right.
For fans of Al, he'll be back on Monday.
Yes, and then I'm off next week.
All week?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. All right.
I'm out next Friday, but it doesn't really affect us.
Yes, not an issue.
So, yeah. So, all right. Well, we will do the warm-up show again tomorrow morning.
No, I think CeeLo.
Why is this? Oh, that's right. I'm hosting with that's right.
Right.
Boomer's out tomorrow.
CeeLo and Fleegs were planning on handling it, and there's no Boomer, so they can be together for the whole hour.
Oh, very good. So you should have CeeLo and Fliegelman tomorrow.
Correct.
And I've got me and Gio tomorrow. I forgot about that.
And a little extra sleepy time for you.
Maybe. I still get in at the same time. Okay. You know what? I feel more prepared.
I understand.
And so I don't change my routine.
Nor I.
All right, so then that's it for the great job this week. Really appreciate it. Al coming back on Monday, and Eddie's got the final word.
See you.